Blog Talk Radio.
Three, two, one. Listen to Talk with Marie Live. Get ready for some music, books, social events, and special guests. Here's your host, Marie.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. It's been such a long time since I've been on, so it's great to be back just before the fall season. Today, I'm welcoming back a wonderful guest, scholar, artist. She's an amazing blogger, and today she's back, and we're going to be focusing on some of her recent posts on her blog. So before I get started, I wanted to thank first all my followers on Twitter. You guys have been really amazing. A lot of new artists, entrepreneurs, so many different connections on there. So thank you so much for the follow and continuing doing so many amazing work in different industries. So I'm hoping this is the beginning of a new season in terms of having regular guests on the program. Send me your music if it's okay to play them on the air. If you're working on a new album, if you have a new show coming up, it's just really amazing. This week I had a chance to catch up with so many musicians. Second Life, Took So Okay to Red Heaven. I think Michael Wells was on Second Life and Concert Window at the same time. So it's been great just really catching up with so many sort of newer and the veterans in Second Life. So without further ado, I'm going to welcome, Blue on the air. And then she's going to tell you about her, everything she's doing. Welcome to the show, Blue.
Hey, thank you. Thank you very much. It's good being back.
Oh, welcome back. I know that's what I should have said. It's been too long. You've been on the air. I think it was spring when you were back.
Yeah.
With Natasha. So I'm glad you're back. I know this week's been really busy, so I really appreciate you taking this time to talk about what you've been up to and then the blog. And, you know, I find your post very helpful, especially the beginning of a new school year for so many people. So I just wanted to remind our viewers a little bit about what you're working on, where you're going to school, and then your research interests before we get into your blog.
Oh, sure. Okay. Well, I'm Blue in Second Life, but in the physical world, my name is Yen, and I'm actually a graduate student, a PhD candidate at the University of Rochester. Right now, I'm working on my dissertation, which is actually situated at the Builders Brewery. For those of you that aren't familiar with the Builders Brewery, it is a virtual school, Second Life, that teaches all kinds of skills from basic building in world to computer programming to learning different 3D programs and graphics programs and all kinds of things. But they do it in a very unique way. For those of you that are familiar with Second Life, the school actually has virtual classrooms where people who represent avatars go in and they take these classes. So my thesis is about learning how people learn in Second Life through community spaces, through interacting with the program and you know, what motivates people to go to these places and learn. So that's kind of the gist of my dissertation these days.
So, oh, my God. I'm so jealous.
Yeah.
You were able to capture. For some reason, I thought your focus was going to be on, like, training or something really sort of technical based on, you know, some of the work you've done in the past.
Yeah, and it hasn't really changed. I think what's interesting about, like, my approach is, and probably the reason why you didn't see me for a long time, is that I was busy working on the lit review and all of that stuff for setting up for what I'm doing now. Traditionally in online education, people design instruction based on teaching models, like classic teaching models, or what they call teaching pedagogy. What I'm doing is actually going in reverse and asking the question of how do we best learn? And so in some ways, studying the Builder's Brewery is more about how people learn and building the teaching off of that kind of theory first.
Ah, okay. That's great.
It's a little bit reversed.
I mean, as long as you get the data that you're doing, like for me personally, like recently I've been mostly sort of reflecting on sort of how do I make the dissertation, whether it's the topic and the process, as authentic as I am, mm-hmm. and how do I sort of like incorporate as many of my interests as possible, which is sort of like a little unrealistic. So on one hand, it's sort of like, it's great to kind of reflect on it, because I know in one of your posts, you talked about journaling or a class you took where you sort of like, you know, you're sort of documenting everything that you're doing that may or may not be, that may not end up in your final work. But it's sort of good to think about your own thinking and process as you're doing it, because there's so much going on and so much reading and things that you trying. And it's sort of like, on one hand, you want to keep it simple, but then it's like, you know, I know for a fact someone like you, like you're not just a student, you do so many different things. And how does that sort of reflect in that, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if you had that challenge.
Yeah, it's, you know, part of the thing is I started my PhD program actually in something almost completely different, which was science education. I even have like a certification in program evaluation. I think we've talked about program evaluation a few times here. But I moved, you know, from being so specialized in science to really looking at learning itself, because I find it so fascinating. But the nice thing about a journal, a research journal, and it's funny because I found out that a lot of people, they don't keep one. And I was taught how to do that from the very beginning, and I can't tell you how valuable that journal has been to me in not only going back, just the act of reflecting itself, like what you were saying, of being able to throw down just what you're thinking, where you are, how you're combining your experiences, but being able to even go back and look for the common themes, for instance, or go back and you know, categorize your thinking process into different, you know, ways. Like, for instance, okay, I'm going to go into my journal today, and I'm going to pull out all of the things I know about motivation, you know, from start to finish. And sometimes you go back, and you're like, oh, my gosh, I thought about this a year ago. Why haven't I thought about this now? And maybe I should revisit that. You know what I mean? So, it really helps to take all of these interests that we have and all of these things that we're doing and find really common threads of what we're really into to help focus things down.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great idea. I mean, again, not every program sort of encouraged that process, because I've sort of met different students where some things are very rigid. And so it's sort of like people sort of follow a specific thing, and you can never tell if it's really them or if it's really sort of whoever that they're working with, or if it's the department. And, you know, let's say even next year, if it's something they're even going to be like, oh my God, why did I even do this? Or is it going to work? Is it be relevant for the next few years? I mean, it's almost like a lifestyle in a weird way. Like, is it something you're doing just for the sake of it and then you're done? Or are you going to be embedded in that work for the rest of your life in some shape or form? If that makes any sense.
Yeah, it totally does. At least for me, I mean, I'm the type of person that gets interested in all kinds of things, but then, you know, by just being able to have a research journal, I can go back and say, okay, I'm lost. Here's all the trees in the forest, and now I need to find my way again. And so it's nice to even just go back a couple of years and go, okay, what was I really interested in back then, and has that really changed? And oftentimes I find that I've always been pursuing the same thing, which is really for me the burning question, how do people learn and how do we take advantage of that? But I've approached it in so many different ways. know, but that drive for me has always been there. So that was one thing I didn't realize for a long time until, you know, going through the PhD process. But my whole career has always been built around how learners.
No, it's great. I mean, as long as the core of, you know, what you're interested is still in there. And then I saw in your post, you went from, you know, sort of just doing the typical journal entries based on that class, and then you then move from Word to a platform. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. It's funny because in terms of my blog, I actually have a sheet that says, okay, different ideas that I want to talk about in my blog. And so one of the things that I haven't started talking about yet, but it's kind of tagged, is this program called Scrivener. And Scrivener is more of an organizational tool to kind of keep all of your ideas and things together. It's really where I keep my electronic journal these days. And part of that reason is, if you imagine Word, you've got maybe like, you know, how it's organized, you've got a folder, right? And in that folder, you've got different documents with all of these articles that are related to that folder. The disadvantage to Word, though, is that if I want to see, you know, 3 or 4 articles and compare them together, I have to open all of the files at one time, right? And then I have to save them at all one time and so on and so forth. I mean, it's possible, but it's not efficient. Scrivener is basically similar to Word, except it's more like keeping your documents in an electronic binder. So, for instance, all of my research journal is in an electronic binder called Research Journal, and each entry in there actually has separate tags on it, separate summaries, even notes and attachments and things like that, and it's all searchable. So here I am with 3 years worth of journaling, and for the most part, I write almost every day. So all of that stuff is now in my journal, and I can search for it. And not only that, I can pull out certain themes that I want to kind of, you know, look at and so on and so forth. And that to me is a little bit more powerful than what I was doing originally in Word. So that's one thing about it that I really right. like.
Yeah. And then you also use, I mentioned at least 2 or 3 others. I think I've heard of EndNote and WefWorks, but I've never heard of Centee or Centee. How do you like that one?
Let's see. Oh, Centee? You know what's interesting? When I wrote this, I didn't know about this. It's so funny. Another graduate student that I work with actually now uses another program called Mendeley. First off, Centee, EndNote, RefWorks, and Mendeley are all reference management programs. And what that means by reference management programs, at least for a lot of academic and graduate students, is that we get so many electronic documents, journals and things that we read all the time, you have to have a place to organize them. So in looking for a reference management program, you know, the different features of one are, for instance, that it's very easy to pull references from the internet. Like, for instance, if I go to Google Scholar, which is a very popular search engine for academia, it's directly connected to my library. So when I find an article from the search under Google Scholar, I can pull it up very easily from the library, and then that just automatically goes into Centee, citations and all, so I don't have to print anything out. EndNote and RefWorks have similar abilities, like you can coordinate them with your website browser, but from what I found, the difference is in when you actually, you know, have the 50, 60-page document right there and you're ready to build your bibliography or your references page, how easy it is to actually construct that from these reference management programs. What I found is Centee is a little bit more powerful than EndNote and RefWorks. However, it's really a matter of preference. You know, it's almost like saying, well, what do you want on your pizza? Mendeley, I just started using, the advantage to Mendeley right now for me that I really like is, one, it's free. Two, it works very easily on the cloud, so you can actually access your references, your library, from a cell phone or an iPad. And when you do citations on your cell phone, it actually coordinates with everything else. The other thing is, it's very easily editable. So you can go in and you can change certain things in your citation, or you can annotate very easily or write notes very easily in Mendeley. One thing I'm playing around with that program, which I think there's a lot of power to it, is in addition to managing your references, it's actually a social site, and I thought that was really cool. So you can actually tag certain authors, certain people, and if they also have a Mendeley account, now you can also communicate with them as well. So that's been pretty cool. The fact that based on my database of references, Mendeley will actually give me other references to look at, and that's been quite nice. I've only played with it for maybe about a week and a half now, but I like it. So I'm in the process actually of moving from Sensei to Mendeley, and we'll see how that goes.
So do you have both install, and you sort of go back between multiple programs, or you just stick to one?
Right now, I've got both installed with the idea that I'm eventually just going to archive Sensei and leave it on the side. And part of the reason why I can do that at this stage in the game is because I finished my comprehensive examinations, and those generally have to do with a very broad subject matter. When it comes to the dissertation thesis, I'm taking out from that very broad subsection of references and going into a very narrow focus with, you know, a much smaller subset of authors and researchers. And so I'm pulling a lot of the things that I use now from Sensei and building a new database in Mendeley just for my dissertation stuff.
Ah, that's great. And so right now, I think you're doing your proposal, right? This is where you've been so busy focusing on that one.
The idea is to finish the proposal by December. So, you know, it's a very tight deadline.
So is this where the writing sprint gets going?
Yes, absolutely. I love how you segue into all of these blog posts, but the writing sprints, you know, one of the difficulties, at least for me, is that my university is in New York, and I now live in Iowa. So part of the reason why I'm so, like, you know, into a lot of these digital tools is because everything I do with my university is now remote. So with that in mind, I'm not even with my same community. Like, my research group and everybody that's associated with that is all in Rochester, New York. So it's very hard to hold yourself accountable, especially when deadlines are very fluid. You know, you don't have your advisors there going, okay, when is this paper due? You know, where are you at? And so on and so forth. So I've developed other ways of being accountable for things, and writing sprints is one of them. So a writing sprint is essentially a block of time that you dedicate to writing and nothing else. Like, you turn off your websites, you turn off everything else, all you have is a blank screen, and you just start writing. And that has been really, really helpful to me because it forces me to keep track of time, but it also forces me to focus in very small blocks, broken in between with breaks, and I've actually been able to get a very large amount of work done that way.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, those advice, I would think, like, any writer can probably adopt or adapt some of them, because, you know, it's just that focus. Like, sometimes there are some people, they do very short word prompt, and it's like, it could be 10 minutes, whatever time. And then, you know, it's almost like it's timed, and when it's done, it's done. And some people do that on a daily basis where they go and they just focus on it, and then you sort of eventually move on. So we almost running out of time. I wanted to know, you sort of much ahead in terms of students who might be working, they might be graduate students, or they might just be someone working on a book, for example. So any three tips in terms of those tools you've been using that you would recommend in order to get them to be on the right track and get to the end goal, which is could either be the dissertation or the book or book, you know, a book proposal or even like a something.
Yeah, I would say probably the first and foremost is, and I would suggest actually, you had mentioned Twitter, for instance, and I've been playing around with Twitter a lot these days because there's a hashtag. If you do hashtag writing sprints, you can actually get into these Twitter conversations about people that are also sprinting as well. And so every once in a while, you can find somebody that's sprinting with you, and that gives you some accountability, but you can also form a group that way too. Forming a support group is really important. And I actually have three different kinds of support groups that I go to that just hold you accountable for certain things. Like, for instance, if I say I'm going to work on, you know, 10 pages today, by golly, somebody's going to ask me, did you finish those 10 pages? You know, the third thing is probably a Pomodoro timer. And that itself is, again, it's if you look it up on Google, Pomodoro timer, it is a timer that gives you a technique where you work for 25-minute sprints broken down with breaks. And there's different hints in there that you use. Everybody uses Pomodoros very differently sometimes just to adapt it to their own style. But by far, a lot more productive than just kind of sitting there and saying, okay, I'm going to write today, right, is that you have something that really keeps your nose to the grind, and you also have goals that you set for making those. So those are probably the three big things that have helped me along.
Okay, so in addition to, I know you're also on Twitter, and you yourself is going to be using Twitter as a way to hold yourself accountable and keep track of you based on those hashtags. So your website, I wanted to make sure people can go there because they can get all the tips and the link, which is really great, the links to everything that we talked about today, from the writing sprint to all the different, you know, program and platforms that can just get, they can learn more what they do and use them if they choose to.
Sure. It's just if you type in Virtuosity, VirtuositY 1111, you will find my blog site. And as I'm going deeper into dissertation work, I'm finding that just blogging about certain things like this, like helping other people along the process, it's kind of a nice way for me to give back, you know, to all the people that have helped me out. But it's also a way to also meet other people, too, that might be interested, might be on the same path. And, I mean, I write with writers, too. I write with people that have very different goals, and we work together, which is really nice.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's great. So I'm hoping, because in addition to the writing and the reference work, I think we also have some tools for people to sort of have support groups or to even meet, whether they want to meet virtually or, you know, regardless of the kind of platform that they use. So I'm hoping you'll come back and we'll do something else maybe in a month, and then we'll see where you are. And then I'll follow you, of course, and keep getting those logs. And people can follow you on WordPress and see what you're working on, because that's how I get your posts. And it's like, oh, let me read it. And it's a very useful. And I know a lot of students or even faculty who can use some of these tools and share them with their students, wherever that they're teaching and working.
Well, thank you. Anybody wants to see, you know, things that they want me to post on too, by all means, you can always hop on there and send me a comment or I have my contact information there too, so you can send me a tweet or something and let me know, and I'll try and accommodate.
Thank you again, and I'll see you very soon.
Great. Thank you, Marie. Thank you for having me on.
I want to thank all my listeners for tuning in today, and I'm hoping we'll be back with more tools for you to follow. Both Blue and myself, we're on Twitter, and you guys can follow us, check out her WordPress page, and you can also do Pinterest. So we'll remind you at the end, and if you have any tips that you're using or tools you're using we didn't mention, you can definitely let me know. So have a great weekend, and I will see you next
Love Talk with Marie. Follow the show on Twitter and Pinterest.